Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Central Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at 256-837-8730. Worship is held every Sunday morning at 9, with Bible study following at 10:15. Evening services begin at 5 on Sunday evenings. Wednesday Bible study is held at 7 o'clock. Now we hope you enjoy this lesson from God's Word, brought to us by Paul Owen.
Please take your Bibles and turn to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, that will be our text for today. My friend Glenn Colley is in North Carolina conducting a meeting, and so we need to remember to pray for him, for his safety and the success of that meeting, that lives and hearts will be touched and changed in the place where he's preaching this week. I'm going to be reading verses 6. And I want to go all the way down to verse 15. So if you would find your place in your Bibles and follow along in your Bibles as I read from mine. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me and Kadesh Barnea. I was 45 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, 'Surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly follow the Lord, my God. And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke the word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, here I am this day, 85 years old, and yet I am as strong this day as on the day when Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, for both going out and for coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard that the day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said.' And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as his inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war." Eric Weihemeyer is a phenomenal athlete. He really is. I mean, he is an acrobatic skydiver. He's 40 years old. He loves to snow ski. He competes and he runs in marathons and long distance cycling contests. And he loves to climb mountains. But I'm here to tell you this morning that mountain climbing is his specialty. For he is one of the youngest to have climbed all 7 summits. When I say that, I mean that's the highest peaks in each of the 7 continents. He has achieved that. And he did it in 2002. 1995, he scaled Mount McKinley. 1998, Mount Kilimanjaro. 1999, he went to South America and climbed its highest peak there in Argentina. And on May 25th, 2001, he reached the summit of Mount Everest. A peak that 90% of the climbers who begin do not finish. And since 1953, 210 people have died while trying to climb Everest. But I'm here to tell you today that Eric made it. And in my book, that is a very, very significant feat. But my friends, that is not even the half of it. Well, you see, Eric, when he was 13 years old, went totally blind. Isn't that amazing? So all of his climbs have been without the benefit of his eyesight. He is a blind mountain climber. And I think to myself, how in the world can a man who's totally blind climb the tallest peaks in the whole world? How does he do it? That's amazing. And when I hear stories like that, I'm reminded that the only thing that keeps us from accomplishing of whatever it is that we have set out to do are the limitations and the restrictions that we place upon ourselves. Isn't that true? And maybe in the spiritual realm that is true too, that often we are underachievers because maybe we limit God's power in our lives. You see, one of the things that happens to us as we go through life is somehow we get a mental picture of how life ought to be finished. And at a certain age that we cease all activity and spiritual activity. But my friends, if you read the Bible very closely and carefully, you will not find support for the idea of spiritual retirement. You won't find it because it's not there. I think one of the things that's interesting as we are reading our text today is you look at that man by the name of Joshua. Joshua. If you go back to the 13th chapter, the chapter before the one we just read, and you look at verse 1, you know what it says about him? Joshua, the friend of Caleb. It says that he was old and advanced in years. You know, that phrase appears 6 times in the Bible. And what is interesting is that 5 out of the 6 times that phrase is used to describe someone who is about to experience the greatest event in their life, old and advanced in years. For example, it's used of Abraham and Sarah before the birth of Isaac. It is used for Zacharias and Elizabeth before the birth of John the Baptist. They were old and advanced in years, but God chose them to be the parents of John the Baptist. And here we have in our text a man by the name of Joshua. And what did Joshua do? He was old and advanced to years. And he was about to complete his assignment to totally drive out the inhabitants of Canaan. He was going to occupy the land. And I think what is interesting is sometimes we get in our mind that when a person reaches a certain age, that they can no longer be productive for God. And my friends, that's not true. Because we're going to meet a man today who is 85 years old when he accomplished the greatest thing that he ever did. 85 years old. Caleb was 85 years old. And the Bible tells us of him that he was a senior citizen of that day who stood out from the rest because this man had vision. This man had great faith. Remember when Joshua and Caleb went into the promised land some 45 years earlier? You remember how they went and you remember how they were 2 of the 12 spies and the 10 came back, and what did the 10 say? They said, oh my goodness, there's giants there. It's a land that devours its inhabitants. We are but grasshoppers in their sight. And they came back and they began to spread that throughout the camp. And the Bible says the hearts of the people melted. They lost all faith in God. And Joshua and Caleb came back and they said, no, it is true. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. It's just like God said. And with the help of God, we can take the land. But the people would not believe. And because of their unbelief, God made a whole generation die off. No one was allowed to enter the promised land, the land that God had promised His people, until everyone died off except for Joshua and Caleb. And where we are in our text today is understand that they're in the promised land now. Joshua is a very old man. And as he's finishing up the process of dividing up the land between the tribes, well, Caleb was of the tribe of Judah. And when it came time for Judah to stand up and ask for their portion of the inheritance of the land of Canaan, Caleb made a very special request that set him apart from all other people. A matter of fact, if we could write a phrase under his name that would describe his life, we could say that Caleb succeeded where everyone else failed. You see, there's a reason for that. Because there were some things in Caleb's life that made it possible for him to achieve what no one else would achieve in his generation. Not because they couldn't, but they just wouldn't. And so what I want to do today is I want to give you three basic truths of Caleb's life. Three basic principles that I want you to nail down, that I want you to cement in your mind, that would help us to be better followers of our Lord Jesus Christ as we are in the wilderness. I want to say today that no matter how old you are, or how old that you may feel, there is something that you can do for the Lord if you are a child of God. Revelation 2:10 says that we are to be faithful unto death. Understood in that passage that we are to serve the Lord all of our lives. So principle number one, Caleb succeeded where everyone else failed because, I want you to get this, Caleb had a vigorous spirit. Did you see that in our text? We learned from our text that Caleb was a strong man. Look in verse 11. Let's go back. As yet I am as strong this day, on the day that Moses sent me, just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, for both going out, and he says also coming in. Caleb said, you know what? He said, I am just as strong at age 85 as I was at age 40. Now, that's amazing to me. And I don't see Joshua disputing that, so I have to assume that it's true. He says at age 85, he says, look, I'm able to go out to war. He was a man of great strength. You see, what I know in the Lord's church is we have people whose favorite Bible verse, and one that they find great solace in, is 1 Timothy 4:8, that bodily exercise profits little. But I want you to understand something. The only service to God that you are going to render unto Him on this earth will be done in your body. You will not preach without a body. You will not teach Bible class without a body. You will not sing without a body. You will not influence your co-workers and your neighbors without a body. Now, I understand that the body is not as important as the soul, and that's very, very true. Because Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, he said, look, he said, don't fear those who can destroy the body but cannot kill the soul, but to fear him who can destroy the body and send the soul to hell. So I understand that. But what I'm saying is, if we're going to serve God upon this earth, it's important for us to have a strong body to do so, because our work and service to him will be confined to this body. I found this the other day, and a little humorous. It says, old age is golden, I've heard it said. But sometimes I wonder as I get to bed, with my ears on the dresser and my teeth in the cup, my eyes on the table till I wake up. As sleep comes each night, I think to myself, is there anything else that I should lay upon the shelf? Sometimes that we go through life and we get the mental picture, and we're thinking, you know, old age is kind of like the body wearing out, and it is. You know, and there's no way that you can stop that process. You can't arrest it. I understand that. But listen, it is interesting to me that Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, maintained a great deal of his physical strength even through that long, arduous journey in the wilderness. How was he able to do that? Well, I think one reason he was able to maintain such a vigorous spirit is because, secondly this morning, that Caleb succeeded because he had a visionary spirit. One thing that you have to understand about Caleb in his experiences, he went through the wilderness all those 40 years, is it was made up of three things. It was made up of desert. Desert was all around. He was in the wilderness. It was made up of death. All of his contemporaries died off. I mean, can you imagine just every day they were having more and more funerals? How would that be? And then the third thing would be discouragement. I'm sure there were long days of discouragement for Joshua and Caleb, knowing that they had to go through this process of 40 years before they could ever go into the promised land that they had been in and spied out and saw and longed for. And so I think that's kind of interesting. And so here he is, he's in the wilderness. And he is going through the desert, he's going through death, and he's going through discouragement. What a way to spend the best part of your life from ages 40 to 85. But Caleb survived it. He made it through it. And through all of that process, he says that I maintain a strong spirit. He says, I'm as strong at 85 as I was at 40. And the reason is because he was a visionary. You see, Caleb had the opportunity, along with Joshua, to go into the promised land. They were able to see that land for themselves. A land that flowed with milk and honey. He saw that land that God had promised him and that place. And so he was excited. He was an eyewitness. Get this. And so as time began to go on and maybe he began to feel some of the discouragement, he thought to himself, you know what? What a wonderful place. As he walked up and down that desert, bearing people left and right, all he could think about was this. One day, I'm going to cross that river and I'm going to the promised land and there I'm going to have a home. You see, that kept Caleb going inwardly when he was going through the desert. Someone once said that great men are very uncomplicated. And I believe that's true. You go back and you look at history and you see some of the great people. They had a purpose, they had a vision, and that focus became their whole life. And mitigating circumstances came that should have complicated their life, but it didn't touch them because they lived for one thing and one thing only. Our Lord Jesus was like that. He said, my will is to do the will of Him who sent me. His heartbeat was for one thing, and that was to glorify God, to accomplish His mission, and that's exactly the thing that I believe that kept Caleb going. He was an uncomplicated man. He had seen the promised land. The Lord told him that one day that you are going to live in the promised land, and he lived that dream. He was a visionary. I don't think I need to tell you, my friends, that today that we are in the wilderness. We really are. This is not the promised land that we're walking through. We are in the wilderness. And what is it that we have around us? Well, doctor bills and death and discouragement. And how is it that we keep our bearings? How is it that as we wander through this desert and this world? Well, I'll tell you how we keep our bearings. Our Word of God tells us, look, that you're nothing but a pilgrim. I'm nothing but a stranger passing through this land. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, he said, look, set your affection, set your mind and your desires on things above, not on things on the earth. That we realize as we walk through this wilderness, the way that we make it is to keep our eye on the promised land. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for him, for those that love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come back and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You see, people, what we need is that we need an eternal perspective as we walk through this temporary world. And I believe that is the thing that kept Caleb going. But here's the good part. One day, God stopped that river. He stopped that river up in a place called Adam. And the children of Israel crossed into the promised land. And don't you know, O Caleb, who'd been thinking and dreaming for 40 years about this moment, that his heart began to beat faster. And I'm here to tell you that that is when his dream really came alive. When it came time for Caleb to go before Joshua and to request his portion of the land of Canaan, he came before him. And look in verse 12 in our text what he said. He said this, now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you heard that day how the Anakim were there and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, that I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord has said. When Caleb stood before Joshua and requested this portion of land, he said that the piece of land that I want is Hebron. And let me tell you why I believe that's true. For when, as Caleb was in the promised land those many years before, someone pointed out to him, hey, that place over there, that mountain, that's Hebron, and that's a very special place. By the way, do you know who was buried in Hebron. Abraham was buried there. Sarah was buried there. Isaac was buried there. Rebecca was buried there. I mean, really, it was the only sacred burial place in all of the land of Cana up until this particular time. And so maybe Caleb said, well, that's the place that I want. I want that place. I want to live there. It is interesting to me that Caleb was not even a full-fledged Jew. He was a son of Jephunneh. His father was Jephunneh, the Kenizzites. The Kenizzites were among the people that they were to drive out. And so how Caleb and his family ever got to Egypt, I don't know. But they became a part of the Israelite community. I'm sure Caleb fell in love with the glorious place that God had prepared for Israel. A glorious history. And so he wanted to become a part of that. And that's exactly what he did. And he says, you know what? Where I want my inheritance to be is I want that mountain. I want Hebron. And that's where I want to dwell. He was a visionary. He was 85 years old. Do you know that some people stop living before they die? You see, our age only tells us how long we've been on the road, not how far we've been down the road. Some people stop living before they die because they lose their vision. Someone has written this, says, since I have retired from life's competition, each day is filled with complete repetition. I get up every morning and I dust off my wits. I pick up the paper and I read the obits. If my name isn't there, I know I'm not dead. So I get a good breakfast and I go back to bed. Some people, when they begin to get a little age on them, they begin to live life in that way as they get older. But you know what? Caleb didn't do that. Caleb succeeded where all the others failed. Listen, because he had a vigorous spirit. He had a visionary spirit. But thirdly, Caleb had a victorious spirit. Not only did Caleb take the hardest assignment that there was, he is the only one that I can find that completed his assignment. Isn't that amazing? Caleb. You know what I don't find is I don't find anybody else stepping up to the plate and saying, Joshua, you let me go to Hebron. I want to subdue the giants. I see nobody. Up until that point, no one had volunteered. Lord, if there's some pygmies out there, I'll take that land. But don't give me the giants. 85 years old. And he says, this is what I want. I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to go to chapter 13. I want to show you some things about how he completed his assignment while the others did not. Chapter 13, and I want to take you through a few scriptures here. Verse 1. Now Joshua was old and advanced in years, and the Lord said to him, you are old and advanced in years, and here it is, and there remains very much land yet to be possessed. Now go to verse 13 of chapter 13. Nevertheless, the children of Israel did not drive out the Girgashites or the Magathites. The Girgashites and the Magathites dwell among the Israel to this day. Now I want you to go to chapter 15, and I want you to look in verse 63, the very last verse in that chapter. And here's another example that they just partially did what the Lord had asked them to do. As for the Jebusites, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the children of Judah could not drive them out. But the Jebusites dwell with the children of Judah unto this day. Now, what I want you to do is look in chapter 16 and look at verse 10, the last verse in that chapter. And they did not drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer, but the Canaanites dwell among the Ephraimites to this day and have become forced laborers. Now go to chapter 17. Look in verse 12. Yet the children of Manasseh could not drive out the inhabitants of the cities and of the Canaanites were determined to dwell in that land. So it happened that the children of Israel grew strong, that they put the Canaanites into forced labor, but did not utterly drive them out. And now look at chapter 18, verse 2. But there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not received their inheritance. Then Joshua said to the children of Israel, how long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you? Over and over and over again, we see that they partially drove out the Canaanites. They did not complete the assignment. God said, do it all, but they did not do it all. It's amazing. And you know what happened? The people that they did not drive out of the land of Canaan ended up being thorns in their side. They drove the Jews nuts. And today they're still a thorn in their side. The reason that Caleb succeeded when everyone else failed is found in chapter 15. Go back to chapter 15. And I want to show you a verse 14. Caleb drove out the three sons of Anak from there, Shisha, Ahiman, and Talmai, the children of Anak. What did he do? This is what he did. Listen to me, please. What he did is he did what God asked him to do. That's all he did. He took the hardest assignment that there was, and he was successful. My friends, Caleb had a vigorous spirit. Caleb had a visionary spirit. Caleb had a victorious spirit. He had all of that because of one fundamental truth about him. Six times in the Bible, we are told that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. It's found in Numbers chapter 14, verse 24, chapter 32, verse 12, Deuteronomy 1:36. Joshua chapter 14, verses 8, verse 9, and verse 14 tell us, Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Three independent witnesses in the Bible tells the same thing. God said, Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Moses said, Caleb wholly followed the Lord. Caleb said of himself, I have wholly followed the Lord. Do you know what that means? Do you remember what Jesus said to the lawyer in Matthew 22 who asked him the question, what is the greatest commandment? He said this. He said, love the Lord your God with all of your heart. What does it mean to love God with all of your heart? Let me ask you this question. Maybe help us understand what that is. Did you ever do anything in life half-hearted? Did you? Well, then you know what it means to be half-hearted. We've all done things half-hearted. I saw a guy the other day driving one of those sport motorcycles half-hearted. He had one hand on the handlebar, the other hand was on his phone, and he was texting as he was driving down the road. I mean, you just kind of do it half-hearted. You really go through the motions. You really don't want to do it. But listen. To do something with all of your heart means the exact opposite of that. It means pull out all of the stops. Don't leave anything on the table. Don't reserve anything for the future. And that's exactly what I feel here for Caleb. See, this morning it doesn't matter if you're 20, if you're 30, if you're 50, or if you're 80. The Bible says that Caleb wholly followed the Lord. He wholly followed the Lord. He said, God, I want this mountain. God, I want to be your champion. Listen, Jesus Christ wants today, He wants to be Lord of whatever is left of your life. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how old that you feel. The Lord has a purpose for your life. If He was through with you, He would take you home. But you're here, so He has a plan and a purpose for you. So don't give up on God. You may be older today, but will you have a fire in your heart to please God, to be faithful to Him until the day that you die? To say, how is it that I can serve the Lord? Yes, there's some things that limit you because of your mobility probably, but there are many things that you can do. Make phone calls and maybe go to the Dorcas class and maybe come to the visitation. There's things that we can do. And so I want to encourage you to wholly follow the Lord. When you come to the end of your life, may you be able to say about yourself, I have wholly followed the Lord. Because He wants to use you all the days of your life. You may be saying, well, Paul, you know what? That's what I want for me. What I want for me today is I want to be able to look over my life and say, I've wholly followed the Lord. What will people say about you after you're dead and gone? Will they say, yeah, he or she was successful in the things that really mattered in life. No, they weren't perfect. But they had a heartbeat for God. They had a drive to glorify God in everything that they do. They were evangelistic. They were compassionate. They loved the Word of God. That's what I want for my life. And I know that's what you want for your life. But this morning, if it is that you're not a Christian, then you can't be wholly following the Lord. Maybe if you're not a Christian today and you say, yeah, that's what I want. At the end of my life, I want to look back and say, I desperately want my life to count for something. After I'm dead and gone, I want people to remember me that I love the Lord. Well, I ask you a simple question today. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? Can you make that confession before men and women today? Repent of any sins that you have in your life. Be buried with the Lord in baptism for the remission of your sins. To rise, to walk as a child of God and the family of God and with all of the blessings of a child of God. Will you do that today? If you're not right with God, and maybe you feel today that you're a million miles away from the Lord, you feel a great distance there, and maybe there is a coldness toward His Word, or maybe a lack of love, whatever, but take that self-inventory, that examination that we all need to do to our hearts, and let's walk with the Lord every day of our lives. If you need to come, will you do so as we stand and as we sing?
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.